Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. We'll look at a couple of passages in Acts chapter and Acts 23 and Acts 24. But tonight, all we're going to talk about is the conscience. We're going to be talking about the conscience. First of all, what is the conscience? Secondly, what can we do to have a good conscience? The Bible is filled with teaching on the conscience. We don't hear a lot about it. Because it's an old-fashioned word, and it's a very hard word to spell as well. Conscience. Doesn't make sense. It's not the same word as conscious either. We're going to talk about the difference between that as well. But today we're going to talk about the conscience. Now, what is a conscience? Some of you have an idea or an understanding of what a conscience is. The Bible has a lot to say about it. Now, there's 32 times that it's mentioned in the Bible, and 21 of those times Paul mentions conscience. And what is the conscience? If I were to ask all of you, I'm sure I'd come up with a variety of definitions what a conscience is. What is it? What is it? Where is it? What is a conscience? Some of you think that a conscience is the good angel on one shoulder and the bad angel on another shoulder talking to you in the middle. Some of you have that idea, and some of you have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, but one of your ears is deaf, so I'm not sure who's got the main influence there. No, it's not as simple or as cartoonish as an angel on another shoulder, but it is your deepest understanding of who you are at your soul. I would call a conscience, here's our definition for tonight, it's the voice of your soul. What is your conscience? It's the voice of your soul. It's what's influencing you. It's your moral center of right and wrong. The Bible has a lot to say about it. Let's go ahead and get right into it. In Acts chapter 23, verse 1, Paul says this, and Paul earnestly, beholding the council, he's talking to the Sanhedrin here, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." He is speaking of his own testimony, and he is saying that I have lived in good conscience to this day. It's a pretty bold statement. But I think we can see through Paul's example that that can be achieved, and that can be lived. You can live with a good conscience. We see it again in Acts chapter 24. Turn the page, Acts chapter 24 to verse 16. "And herein I do exercise myself." Those of you who are exercising know that it takes work. It often is painful, but it's repetitive in order for it to develop some habits here. "Herein I do exercise myself." What is his practice? "To have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." What was Paul's goal? To have a conscience void of offense. What is the conscience? Officer Sergeant Ray Bars in Midvale, Utah, he opened up his wallet and noticed that his driver's license had expired. Embarrassed at having caught himself, he caught himself red-handed. He had no alternative. He calmly and deliberately pulled out his ticket book and wrote himself a citation. Bars later took his ticket to the city judge, who fined him. The judge, puzzled, shocked, and amazed, inquired about the sergeant's action, and Bars replied, "How can I give a ticket to anyone else for an expired license in the future if I didn't cite myself?" I don't know about you, and I don't know about the position of your conscience, but that's a pretty healthy conscience to write a ticket for himself for something that no one else would notice. Again, we're talking of soul. Where is your soul? It's the deepest, darkest, most central location of who you are. God saves our soul, and our soul is who we are. Our soul is where we have our mind, the center of our emotions, our will. Our conscience is there. What happens when you tell a lie to someone or gossip about someone behind your back? Do you feel bad? Is there guilt there when you do it? Or what about people who commit horrible atrocities? Do you wonder if they have a conscience as well? Do they have an inner voice crying out when they do wicked acts? We can say, we're going to go right into it, from the teaching of Scripture, that everyone has a conscience. But not everyone has a good conscience. Not everyone has a bad conscience. In fact, there's several levels of our conscience that we'll see in the Bible. There's conscience mentioned. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament, the word itself, but you see the principle in the Old Testament. The brothers of Joseph, remember when they came to Joseph, when Joseph was in charge, second in command in all of Egypt, and their conscience was pricked when they understood what they did to Joseph. They came to Joseph to purchase corn, and Joseph concealed his identity, but he tested his brothers, accusing them of being spies and casting them into prison. And they said to each other, "We are very guilty concerning our brother." They knew what they'd done, and inside of who they were very guilty at what they'd done. "We're very, very guilty concerning our brother in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us?" Now, Joseph wasn't pointing his finger at his brethren. He wasn't accusing his brethren of what he did to Joseph, but they felt guilty about what they'd done. And that was on the inside that they had done. Their conscience was stirred. God, as our Creator, has made every single person to have a conscience. We are moral beings. We are not like animals. Animals function on instinct, and we are moral beings. We can tell what is right and what is wrong. And that is something that God has put in us. However, our conscience can be influenced. It can be influenced for evil, and our conscience can be influenced for good. And it's not an angel or a demon that's doing it. Here's what we're going to put on the opposite sides of the spectrum of our conscience. There's the Holy Spirit of God and sin. Those are the influences on our conscience. The Holy Spirit of God and sin. We see in Romans 2:14 through 15, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature..." Where does this conscience come from? It comes from nature, what God has put in us. "Do by nature the things contained in the law." They know about murder. They know about lying. They know about stealing. "In themselves, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." The law was very clearly given to the Jews, the word of God given to man. But there was another law that every single person has in their hearts, and that is the law of our conscience. There is a right and wrong written on the inside of who we are. Our conscience bore witness to this higher law. Our conscience is a judge and a jury presiding over the courtroom of our hearts. The conscience is the voice of our soul. Here's the problem with the voice of our conscience. We live in a world that is infected by sin. We live in bodies that are infected by sin. Not only do we do sin, we do sin because we are sinners. At our heart, at the innermost part of who we are, our souls, we are sinners. You and I know the great prophet of old, Jiminy Cricket. And what did he tell? What did he tell Pinocchio? "Always let your conscience be your guide." Sound it? Always let your conscience be your guide. Unfortunately, we can't trust our conscience. That's not good advice. Our conscience good to the voice goes Isaiah 30, verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. When you turn to the right hand, and when you turn still small voice, the word, the Holy Spirit's word," and saying yes to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. The more you say yes to the Holy Spirit, the better your conscience will be. Don't trust your conscience if it's not being influenced. What is it good? God's word ended on inside of you. Acts verse, Acts 14. "And then I do exercise myself toward" who? God. "The word comes into our life and shows with that mighty spotlight showing exactly who we are in the mirror of God's word, we need to confess that sin void of offense. You've heard of that old phrase, have a short account of sin before God. Well, that's what that means. Conscience that is void of offense before God. When you see who you are and God shed light of sin, it's time to confess that to God and repent. Number three, God's word speaks of a pure conscience. Number three, God's word speaks of a pure or a clear conscience. 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God who served from my forefathers with a pure conscience. These things I have remembered thee in my prayers, day and night to bed without any word for the day. You sleep better that way. With a pure conscience, you can allow God to live only. And you can be bold in what you do. This is a conscience that is out regret. Are you living with or with a pure sin in your relationships or work? Are you living without regret in where God has you? Are you living without regret in your family? Live with a pure conscience. Paul, a great example. He was always striving his best and gives all for God and for others. Clear conscience is a wonderful thing. There, we not only have our flesh that we're living with that's warring against us, but we have the devil. And the devil accused clear conscience is a wonderful thing. You can stand boldly and say, before God and before man, I have a conscience before him. That is a wonderful thing. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when pursued. But just are bold and lion. The wicked, they always have something on their conscience. They would know he's pursuing them, but the righteous old lion. Abraham Lincoln wanted to live with a godly character and live with integrity. While he was the president during the scarring years of the Civil War, he knew that he would be making errors in office. He was a human. He knew that errors would come. But he resolved never to compromise his integrity. His resolve was so strong that he once said, I desire to so conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me. As the leader of our country, he understood the value of a heart that was pure, of a conscience that was pure, of a conscience that still had its integrity. A clear conscience helps us to live in peace with all men. We can remain calm and confident even when horrible chaos is swirling around us. Now, our nation, our generation is yearning for a cause to believe in, to follow. It seems every week there's a new cause that comes up that I had no idea about, that people are so passionate about. Well, inside our conscience, we have, and what's wrong? And when people are offended, it's because their conscience has been stirred about a specific issue or ideology. That doesn't mean everything that everyone says is right is the right way to go. That doesn't mean that everything that everyone says is wrong is the wrong way to go. The Bible, number four, speaks of a weak conscience. What's a weak conscience? A conscience that goes back and forth. That is symptomatic of my generation. Those that are in their late 20s or early 30s, I'm going to claim early 30s now. Go ahead and do it. It's symptomatic of my generation. They'll say one thing and do one thing, and then the next week they'll hop on the bandwagon of some other cause to jump into. They have a weak conscience. Their right and wrong goes back and forth. Here's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 8:12. But when ye sin, so brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye do sin against Christ. No, it's a conscience that is easily swayed back and forth. They're offended about everything. Doesn't matter what comes their way, they flip-flop and are offended about everything. A man consulted a doctor. Doc, I've been misbehaving. My conscience is troubling me, he complained. And you want something to strengthen your willpower, the doctor said. Well, no, said the man. I was thinking of something that would help weaken my conscience. I just don't want my Well, I just don't want my conscience telling me that's right or that's wrong. No, this kind of conscience, this weak conscience, is weak because it don't know nothing. It hasn't been influenced. It hasn't been educated. It hasn't been galvanized. It hasn't been taught anything. So they go along with everything. They flip-flop, and that is a weak conscience. It is easy to offend these people. Yes, these people need to be taught what is truly right and wrong according to God's Word. Number five, there's another type of conscience. God's Word speaks about a defiled conscience. Now we're getting into the wrong type of conscience to have. Titus 1:15 says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure." Their worldview, we're talking about what enters people's eyes and how they see the world. Your conscience, how you're looking at things. They said, to the pure, all things is pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. That word defiled means corrupted or polluted. Now, I don't need to lift up the sewer lid to see that it stinks. But it's amazing to see that the world, the more it says yes to sin, the more defiled it is. The more things they stand up for and say, well, this is right, when it's clearly wrong. Their conscience is defiled. They can't tell. At this point of a conscience, they can't tell what's right or wrong anymore. They can't tell. When you're driving in rain and you happen to drive through a puddle filled with mud and it comes all over your car, you can't see a thing. Even though you have your windshield wipers on, that mud keeps covering your car. And then you want to, so that you can see your front window. Don't drive like I know some of you drive. Just keep on mind, we can't see anything funny. No, if you have something to bring your view, when it's clean, then you go. It's the same way with our conscience. If the that we're exposing our eye gate and our ear gate to our wicked purpose and the world's faulty, then we're truly right and wrong. Our conscience can't tell what's right and what's wrong. Here's what Matthew 6:20, the body, if thine eye be single, that's a whole hell eye. The whole body will be full of darkness. If there's a light that is in thee be darkness, how great darkness. If you don't allow yourself to tell what's right, or saying yes to the Holy Spirit, saying yes to what I saying yes, to acknowledge sin in our life can also weaken our conscience. Now, number six, God speaks of an evil conscience. We're not talking about a defiled conscience that can't tell what's right or wrong anymore. We're talking about a defiled conscience, or we're talking about an evil conscience, one that has chosen evil so much that it has become the chief influence in your life. Evil has become the chief influence. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true conscience in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is a conscience that's so evil, so corrupt, that our values have turned upside down. Our values are opposite. What is evil, we call good. What is good, we call evil. That is an evil conscience. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against people whose consciences have been influenced by the wrong thing and by evil. We're wrestling against those who have influenced themselves with this evil. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There's also a worse conscience than an evil conscience. Number seven, God's Word speaks of a seared conscience. A seared conscience. We're in trouble when our personal sin no longer bothers us. If you can sin without any guilt, if you can sin without it bothering you at all, you might have a seared conscience. That's when you sear a finger. What happens when you're cooking and you accidentally touch the side of that hot pan or the cooking top? It hurts. It's painful. But then you go back to feel the edge of that finger or the side of that hand. And you've lost feeling a little bit in your hand. You can't feel it anymore. You can't tell what's right or wrong. In fact, there is no sensitivity there at all. 1 Timothy 4, 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. A seared conscience is one is cut off, that's silenced, doesn't have any feeling at all. The Bible says that those who have seared their conscience have made shipwrecks out of their spiritual life. A shipwreck isn't losing your salvation, but losing your effectiveness for God. I hope I never lose my effectiveness for God. I don't want to have a seared conscience, one that can't tell right or wrong or can't feel anything when I hear the preaching of God's Word or when I read God's Word in the morning. I want something that is alive. I want something that is receptive. I want something that is pliable to the influence of God's Word and the influence of His Holy Spirit. Every child of God has a duty, a responsibility to constantly shape and monitor and maintain their conscience. There's three ways, we'll end with this, there's three ways that you can have a good conscience. Number one, what is a good conscience? We talked about that. There are seven kinds of conscience that we can have. There's the good conscience, which I want. And there's the opposite of that. There's a seared conscience. I don't want that. I don't want to lose my effectiveness for God. How can I have a good, clean conscience? Number one, we must determine to make the written Word of God our standard. The written Word of God. Don't make it something that you happen to bring to church with you, or make it just something token that you set up on a bookshelf or in your car. Make it the standard of living. How can you have a good conscience? By taking heed thereto according to all that's written therein. Someone has said, conscience is a trustworthy compass when God's Word is our true north. Don't trust your conscience if you have a seared or a evil conscience. Trust your conscience when God's Word is your true north. Step two, we must remain sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That voice that's calling behind us. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Whether you're heading to the left or heading to the right. Holy Spirit is not our conscience, but it influences our conscience. Where does the Holy Spirit minister? It ministers to our conscience. Our conscience can be corrupted, but God's Holy Spirit cannot be corrupted. Trust the Holy Spirit of God. Trust His Word. He remains holy and sinless in the presence of chaos. In the presence of sin, He remains holy. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Trust the Holy Spirit inside of you. Psalm 119, 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet to Thy testimony. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Thy testimonies. The Holy Spirit always brings Holy Scriptures to our mind. The Holy Spirit is the one who does that. Number one, make God's Word our guide. Number two, remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number three, keep short accounts of sin before God. Keep a short account of sin. How can you cleanse your conscience? How can you have a clean, right, and malleable conscience before God? How? Confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. Hebrews 9:14 speaks of purging our conscience. How much more shall the blood of Christ? How can we have a clean conscience? It's the blood of Christ that does the cleansing work. Who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Incidentally, there are good things to do. And there are good things to expose yourself to. There are good ideologies out there, but they're nothing to be compared with going to God and confessing your sin, going to His Word, seeing yourself for who you are, and also having the influence of God's Word, and also having the influence of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your conscience is being programmed every day. It's not just being programmed when you come to church or when you go to big rallies. No, your conscience is being programmed every day. It's being programmed by the children. It's being programmed by your parents. And parents, also consider your great responsibility of programming your children's conscience. You are not their conscience. You are not someone else's Jiminy Cricket. Some people want to be that for someone else and be someone else's moral center. Paul said, it is my conscience. I have had a good conscience. No, you are shaping their ways and you're shaping their conscience, but it is developed on the inside of them. Our choice of friends is programming our conscience. Our choice of media, internet, movies, television, music are all programming our conscience. It is actively being programmed with every decision that we make. If our conscience is the center of what are right and wrong, then that is where we are making our decisions. Every is seared, then we're not making right decisions. Let's make right decisions by programming our conscience with God and His Word and the Holy Spirit. A good, godly, sensitive, healthy conscience leads to a good, godly, sensitive life before the world. 2 Corinthians 1:12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. This is not just as simple as understanding a superego or an id, as the world describes our conscience. This is something that is on the inside of us. This is our soul. This is who we are. Now, this message is not given to us just so we can feel guilty. In fact, a clean conscience, a good conscience, can give us freedom. A clean conscience can give us liberty. We can go on and do the things that God wants us to do boldly with a clean conscience. How can we have a clean conscience? By understanding the forgiveness of God. When we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He is the one who is promising forgiveness when we come to Him and when we see ourselves for who He is and when we see our conscience as needing the work of God's Word. A conscience that's desensitized or defiled is something that is a vessel that God can't use or God won't use. God has given us this gift of a conscience. Again, we're not animals. We are God's created beings, created with this moral center. Let me ask you this question. We know what a conscience is. We know how to get it to have a good or a clean conscience. So here's our question tonight. Do you have a good conscience before the Lord? Do you have a clean, a right, a pliable conscience before the Lord? Tonight, there's one way you can have it. There's one way you can have that freedom and that liberty, standing before God, saying, like Paul said, I have a clean conscience before the Lord. You can have it. Confess your sin and receive God's forgiveness tonight. Let's all stand together. We're going to ask the Lord tonight to help us to have a clean conscience. Christian, you had a conscience before you were saved and you still have a conscience now. Only now you have the influence of the work of the Holy Spirit. Have you rejected His influence? Have you disregarded the influence of God's Word? I would encourage you tonight. It's time to seek His Word. It's time to seek His face. And God will help us to have a clean and right conscience. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and help us to have a clean and right conscience before you. Lord, help our eye to be clean. Lord, help our heart to be clean. Help it to be pure before you. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to confess influence that is causing their eye to be corrupt or their heart to be evil or their conscience to be seared, Lord, tonight, may they confess it before you and receive that freedom. Receive that liberty that comes with your forgiveness. Lord, we know that you want to forgive, and Lord, you want to cleanse from sin through your blood. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you need to come to the front and confess that before God, God's waiting. God wants to do something great and develop a sensitive and good and right conscience.